It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
And it isn't Jack Stogler. Jack has deserted us for the warm weather in Florida. So I'll be filling in tonight, and we'll be talking to Jeff Wendell and Cole Wendell about they're from the Athletic Boosters and from the WOW Committee baseball field, softball field complex thing. I don't know exactly what the if there's a different committee or whatever, but we'll be talking mostly about the athletic complex that will be funded, that is being funded by the WOW. Cole, welcome.
Neil, how are you?
Pretty good. Doggy, Jeff.
Hi, Neil.
How you doing?
Great.
Always good to have you guys here and find out what's going on with this this gigantic project that seemed unreachable a couple of years ago. And we'll in a little bit we'll talk about some of the things of how that all got moved around and worked, and so things can proceed like we want. And so we'll get into all of that in just a little bit, and we'll take a quick break and be back with lots of details and Rocker after this.
Hey, this is Stacy with Brick Street Tavern. We have added a couple new items to our menu: spicy pickle fries, pizza bites, cauliflower pizza, and cheese curds. Stop up and try our new items, or give us a call to get them to go.
Are you looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions, as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. I'm inviting you to come and see the new Endurance line of litter spreaders from Salford BBI at K&L Tractor. These spreaders are available in pull type and truck mount models and are designed to be the toughest, most durable spreader in the market today. The Endurance wide swath litter spreader is designed with the poultry grower in mind. With Salford BBI's rugged design and construction, you can more efficiently spread your materials, saving you time and money. Come see these remarkable spreaders from Salford BBI today at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Wow.
The 2021 Win on Wabash is excited to present to you our newest raffle, the Friday Night Tow and Go. This progressive raffle will have up to 13 winners and give away up to $270,000 in cash and prizes, including a golf cart, jet ski, ATVs, dirt bikes, a camper, a Harley Davidson Road King, and a Chevy Silverado. The number of tickets sold will determine the total number of prizes to be given away. Tickets sell exclusively through our website, wowraffle.com, for $25 per ticket or $5 for $100. The winners will be drawn at the 2021 Win on Wabash on August 27th, 2021, and winners will be able to interact in this game show-style giveaway. All details can be found on our website, wowraffle.com, or on our Facebook page, WOW Super Raffle. Tickets are available January 1st through May 1st, or until sold out, so be sure to get in on your chance to win some great prizes in the Friday Night Tow and Go Raffle, part of the 2021 Win on Wabash Super Raffle event.
Wow.
We're back on Insight with the folks from the Athletic Boosters. We're talking with Jeff and Cole Wendell. And so the Athletic Boosters, are you guys an arm of that, or is this the actual Athletic Boosters doing it, or is this a special committee that's running? We're talking about the softball-baseball complex that's in the works now.
Yeah, it's being funded and ran through the athletic boosters. It actually started out, there was a group of guys that started out as the Diamond Club Committee, sort of, they called themselves.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then we had the opportunity to kind of take over the booster club and join together, and that's ultimately where it's all coming from.
And you're the president, Cole?
I was in 2018 and 19, right after Ken and Greg were done.
So it's Ken Shane and Greg Schmitz.
Yep.
You know, even though they tried to get out of it for a while, they were stuck there for a decade or two, it seemed like. And I'm pretty sure they were happy to have someone like you, younger and new ideas and stuff like that, to come along and take over. So that's really great. But go ahead.
Took over. Had Ryan Tin and Jake Garkey were both vice presidents with me, and then Todd Post helped out as secretary, and Joe Fowler was a treasurer until Connor took over. But yeah, like right now, Jake Garkey's the president, Jim Toby's vice president, Jonas Foote, secretary, along with Connor, is the treasurer.
Those are all kind of the wow people and real go-getters. I mean, they're really,
doing
stuff.
A handful of other guys that show up at every meeting and that are just as dedicated as all of them, too. So
yeah.
It takes a large group, like you said.
Yeah, it takes a bunch of people to do it, especially. It takes plenty of people just when you were just running the concession stand.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a lot of people. The wow takes a billion people. It's just, it's incredible. So, the complex, what, just kind of tell us what that is and how it started, and take about 20 minutes and just give us a good history of how it started and who decided to do it and how that got going and how you thought you might fund it before the WOW came along.
Well, the vision started years ago. In 2008 and 9, I was the Booster Club president. And actually, 2007, I was the vice president for Bill Stogler. And remember Bill's first day, he said, my goal for this year is to form the Hall of Fame committee. He did that. Mm-hmm. And so my first day as a Booster Club president was, my goal was to improve the baseball facility at the time and to help out with that program. And over those couple of years, we put around $20,000 into the baseball field, and we took out the old backstop, put netting up, went to the left field and formed a purple monster, gave it a little character, and then we did some dirt work also. So at that time, Shane McKibben and I, we kind of drew up some plans what a new field would look like. And mm-hmm. So some of the plans we have today is a little bit of Shane's vision also. He's a has some great ideas.
Now, when you guys were thinking of that, were you thinking putting it at the school or a redo of what of where we have it?
It was more of a redo where mm-hmm. we had it, just for the simple fact, the money, of course, you know.
And yeah.
I'm not sure at that time where we were at, even with the school and the field, you know. So
right, yeah.
So, but over the years, we formed a couple committees, and one was a baseball dads and group of guys got together trying to do some things, and mm-hmm. It always came down to the money, right? I mean, it's not cheap to do things. And
no, it is not.
So they kind of disbanded. Then we had a Diamond Club, and then after about three times of failing, I said, "Well, I gotta find some more guys. That it can't be a Jeff Wendell thing. It's got to be a community thing." And I called some guys up: Ryan Tin, Chad Fowler, Jonas, and Cole, and Todd Post, and we kind of started our first meeting, and then we say, hey, who do you know that may want to join our club? And before you knew it, we had 8 or 10 guys there. And then one day Jake Garkey walks in, says we're going to sell 3,000 tickets for $100 each for the WOW, and we kind of dropped our jaws, like, how are we going to do that?
Yeah.
He goes,
yeah,
by the way, we can make a lot of money if we do it. So he got our attention, and the WOW now is very successful. That's the driving force behind it.
Yeah, well, I can tell you it sounded like the stupidest idea I ever heard of, because how are you going to sell $100 tickets and then sell 3,000 of them? Because I remember the days back in the old days when the Lions Club used to do the car party. You know, you give away a car, man. That's a pretty big deal. And those tickets were $50, and we couldn't sell 500 of them. It was really difficult. That last weekend, we'd be running around the bars trying to find the drunkest guy with money. and see if he could, if he'd buy five or six of it. Just, yeah. Man, it was tough, and I just did not see that this could work.
Yeah.
I hoped it would.
Yeah.
And I'd do everything I could to help, but I wasn't optimistic about it. But now look where we are. So. Yeah.
Well, you weren't alone. I mean, we were all kind of nervous, but you know, Jonas just did a phenomenal job of putting a ticket together, and he does it every year. And I don't know where it comes up with all his ideas at, but they definitely are attractive on a ticket, and they do really well on sales. And this year, of course, we sold out 8,000 tickets, so we're well on our way to you know, having the financing to get the field started. And the goal is this spring. Matter of fact, we recently put some money down to we're doing sod in the girls' softball diamond in the outfield, and we're doing sod in the baseball field, outfield, and in the infield. And that's roughly 3 acres of grass. And
wow.
A special type of grass they grow for the field. It's going to be really thick grass. I don't know the name of it. If you told me, I still wouldn't remember it. But it's supposed to be really good for the fields. And
well, if you're buying it from somebody that knows what they're talking about, the name of it doesn't matter. It's if you're buying it from somebody reputable. So
yeah.
That's the main thing.
Yeah, so the field's going to have some really neat characteristics. Our goal was to make it very fan-friendly. You might go to Coldwater or St. Henry. I love the fact that their home plate to the backstop is 30, 35 feet away. You're right on top of the action. You know, in my opinion, Coldwater is the best place in Ohio to watch a baseball game. I love that place, and I love coaching there. I love bringing my teams there to play against them, and right in front of Lou Brunswick is a great environment, great history there. So our field is going to be around 35 feet from home plate to the backstop. We're going to have purple turf from the home plate to the backstop. It's have the white letters Indians on it. Mm-hmm. And that'll be really nice.
Now, is that going to be turf, or is it going to be AstroTurf type stuff, or
AstroTurf, synthetic turf? So then on the softball side, we're going to have the synthetic purple turf down the first and third baseline to the boxes, mm-hmm. and all the way back to the backstop. So that'll be nice for them also, and add some character to our field, something that will make it unique.
Yeah.
So,
and I'm guessing in the overall price of things, it's a penny.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you had to go buy it and do it on our existing field, it'd be some money. But when you're spending over $1 million, you know, a little bit more to make it unique is nothing.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, the rest of it's going to cost a ton. So why not spend a little bit more? You know, with our elementary school, with us being kind of the pilot of all of that, we got to do some stuff like that and make that a very unique thing. And since then, the state has said, I don't think we want to spend the money on that, so it's all going to be plainer. So we got good there. So we know the value of something unique, you know, we kind of revel in that, I think, here.
Yes.
Because we do a lot of things unique in our town. So, yeah. So, other little things, little or big things that we're going to do to make things a little different from everybody else?
Yeah, like we took some features from some different ball diamonds we've been to. One of them, like Verzales, you walk up their foul line on the first base side. You can, it's a 4-foot fence. So you walk up to it, put your arms on it, and you mm-hmm. lean on it. It's a great way to watch a baseball game.
Yeah, it is.
Without looking through the fence. So our first and third base foul lines will be, the fencing will be 4 foot mm-hmm. all the way down.
Yep.
The outfield will be 6 foot. And, you know, we're working with Don Colleague and his boys, Brady and Aaron. We met with them the other week, and, you know, they're really excited. They got some great ideas, but we want to build some type of observational mounds so that you can sit on that mound, whether it be a bleachers or a lawn chair, but you can watch the softball game and a baseball game at the same time.
Oh, so you'd be down basically the third baseline of the baseball and first baseline. Oh, that's
correct. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
How's it going to fit in there? I'm not real sure. One of those deals,
somebody will figure that out. Yeah. If we have room, and even if we put something in and a few years later think, oh, something else would be better. You know, we have the space to do stuff.
Yeah,
yes. Yeah, that'd be pretty neat.
And they're talking about maybe doing one in the center field also. But some of this stuff is kind of evolving as we go, and mm-hmm. It can change. the right field wall, we wanted to have some type of the fort history in our field. So at first we had the concession stand behind home plate of the baseball field, but we moved that out. That's now going to be the concession stand, the restroom, and the press box. It's going to be a double decker on be the boys' third baseline, the girls' first baseline. It'll be connected.
Oh, so it'll be kind of between the dugouts rather than behind home plate.
Correct, correct.
So that's kind of like St. Henry has theirs above the home dugout, and that can also service the football field. So that could definitely work.
Yes, and of course have a restroom down there, which the girls softball don't have right now, other than using the school, which is long walk. And the the boys, we have the porta potties currently, so be a nice.
Yeah, and that's actually even a fairly new thing. I'm thinking 15 years ago we didn't have those.
Yeah,
you know, it was if you need. That's why there weren't any spectators there. You know, people would come, stay for a while and leave.
Yeah,
if you had to go to the bathroom or just got boring or whatever it was easy to leave a baseball game. Mm-hmm. Now it's really the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, and even when Shane McKibben started coming, it got a lot more fun to just stay there. But I remember lots of times when I'd watch some of the teams from 30 years ago go down there. And, you know, there might be, if you stayed the whole game, you might see 50, 60 people, but there's never more than 30 at a time. They would come and they'd go. It's supper time on a weeknight, and they just didn't stay. Now people are staying. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a pretty big deal. So
sure
that's, and this is going to make it so much nicer. It's just going to be a really neat thing. I'm excited about it. And other features?
The right field and on the baseball field, we're going to have like a fort wall. And Dave Kalp has...
For the outfield?
Yeah, outfield fence. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how many feet is going to go over, but it'd be like that corner down the right field line. Dave Kalp, he told us he built the wall like an amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
So he has experience with that. And
He did replace those palisades down there, yeah.
Yeah, so we kind of nominated him in charge of that wall.
Well, he'll do a pretty good job. I think he kind of likes Fort Recovery and is willing to do some unique things for that. Yeah. So that's really good. That's awesome. So get the mayor involved.
Yep. Then both will have new scoreboards with sponsors on them. Really nice scoreboards. The baseball scoreboard will be in right center field, because if you put it in left center field, the sun will set, and by 6 o'clock you won't be able to see anything on there. So we put that in right center field, so it's better for the fans to see. Then the softball field will have a new scoreboard, same place as theirs are now, far as I know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I see the picture of one here. If somebody's interested in being a sponsor on there, what do they do, and do you have spaces left, and how much do they cost, and all that kind of stuff, if somebody has the desire to be a sponsor?
Yeah, the baseball scoreboard is all sold out. We had 4 sponsorships on there, but there are some remaining on the softball scoreboard yet. We've got our 4 sponsors on each scoreboard. The first sponsor on it is takes a whole width of the scoreboard, and then right below there it's divided into thirds where there's 3 more sponsors. So on the girls' scoreboard there are 2 third panels left, left and right corner, and those are, they're $12,500 is what they are. Can either be done as a one-time payment, or we can do it over 5-year payment as well. So
if anybody's interested in doing that, that's a great way to get really, really good name recognition.
Yep, absolutely. It'll be right in front of everybody there.
Yep, everybody will see it every time they look up the scoreboard, which for me is about 5 times an inning at least.
Yeah.
Lose track of the outs or the pitch count or whatever it might be. You get a look up at the scoreboard, and there's your name. So, do you want to mention any of the ones for the baseball or either of them or?
Baseball.
Are those all? They're basically solidified. So the
correct. Yep, yeah. Okay. Baseball. The full panel on the baseball field right now is a Fort Recovery lumber, and then for the third panels on the bottom left, or I'm not exactly sure how they'll be laid out. In each corner is going to be Park National Bank. And Mercer Savings Bank, they'll be on the corners. And then in the center panel, it's going to be Ken and Pat Stahlman family, also in memory of Sawyer Overman. So
that's awesome. That is awesome.
But yeah, then on the girls'
those are some pretty good people. Do you know them very well?
Yes, I do.
Those are some really good people.
Yeah, he was pretty excited about it.
Yeah, so. that's great. That is really, really good.
But yeah, and then on the girls' scoreboard, Park National Bank is filling up a third section of it. And then the full part of the scoreboard, we're in the talks of someone right now possibly getting it. So we'll announce
that. So that one may not be available.
Correct.
But the other thirds are, there's two other thirds
two
still
thirds,
available.
Yep. Okay.
So if somebody's interested in that, that's a really good way to get name recognition for your bank or your cause, as in the case with Sawyer. So so that's the scoreboards. Anything unique else besides that kind of thing that you want to cover?
I mean, yeah, I can go through all the naming rights. I mean, we've got two open naming rights on the big on the baseball field and the softball field each. The baseball field to have the field named and whatever you want is $100,000, and the softball field is $75,000. And then I'll go through all these. A lot of these are spoken for here. The press box is taken. It's going to be sponsored by JR Manufacturing. The concession stands, Wayne Street Market. The home dugout by Cooper Farms. The visitor's dugout by the Vic and Norm Metzger family. And then the batting cages are still available. A little batting cage training complex, mm-hmm. Still available at $15,000. There are some other people that have donated a home run or higher, which if you donate $10,000, it's considered a Grand Slam sponsorship. $5,000 is a home run. And then there are also a triple for $2,500, a double at $1,000, a single for $500, or an RBI at $100. Some of those people who are home run or higher, Ed Zumstein, Wendell Poultry in memory of Herb Homan, in memory of Joe Keller, Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, Sons of the American Legion, and then also Willie Lochtfeld as well. And once again, those are payments that can either be paid as a one-time payment or in five-year installments as well to help you out if that would help. So.
Yeah, and there's no limit on how many of those you can get.
Like
on the scoreboard, there's only so much space, but we'll make space if there's people doing stuff like that.
Correct.
So, so if you have a business that you want recognition. Name recognition there. If you have a cause, if you like with Willie Lochtfeld, with Wendell Poultry for Herb Homan, things like that. If there are things like that that you want people to see, this is a great opportunity. It's going to be visible to anybody, everybody. Because even if it's, if you're watching the baseball game or the softball game, you're going to see all of these. You know, if you're at the baseball game and there's a softball game going on, you're going to at least look over there and see what the score is. And so you're going to see that plus all the other things that you're going to have there. That is – now, is it going to be something similar to like they have at the Little League Diamonds with the sponsors and that kind of thing, like the home run sponsors because they have, like, big signs?
Yeah, it's there. Not truly set in stone yet how we're going to do it.
Okay.
It's going to be more of a – on the fly thing, sort of say.
Yeah,
because
once you get the entrance, you may have an idea in your head. Mm-hmm. Once you see the building up, you go, "We don't want it there. We want it over here."
There's been several ideas tossed around, just nothing solidified yet.
Well, and that's probably one of the easiest last things that you need to do anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know who's going to do that for you, but you can. If it's a professional company, they can do it 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, sure.
And with they don't need to know now to start getting all that together. So that's good. So let's take a quick break here, and we'll come back and talk some more about what's going on with the WOW and the baseball complex and all of that. So we'll be back in just a minute.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Cover more ground and get more savings on the fast, durable Kubota Sidekick. Gas-powered with a top speed of 40 miles per hour and best-in-class acceleration and handling with cargo, all backed by a 2-year, 1,000-hour warranty. Get the Sidekick now for zero down, 0% APR for 60 months, or save up to $1,750 now through February 28th. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
You say you're hungry? Call Miracle Lanes and avoid the work and hassle of fixing it yourself. 375-4274 is the number you want to call for subs, salads, great sandwiches and sides, and of course their awesome pizza. And don't forget about their pizza wing and salad buffet every Friday at lunch. Do you have a birthday party or other get-together coming up? Give them a call and reserve your lanes now. Miracle Lanes, great food, lots of fun. 375-4274.
The Fort Recovery Drama Club will present Agatha Christie's murder mystery, And Then There Were None in the middle school auditoria. We will present 6 shows. The tickets are $6 each and are on sale at the high school office until they are sold out. Seating will be limited for each performance due to the coronavirus restrictions, so get your tickets while you can. They are expected to sell out early. Our shows will be Friday through Sunday, February 19th, 20th, 21st at 7 p.m. each night. Plus, we will have a Sunday afternoon matinee performance on Sunday, the 21st at 3 p.m. The following week, there will be 2 performances, Friday and Saturday evenings, the 26th and the 27th at 7 p.m. each night. This is a murder mystery, and there will be potentially disturbing content that is not recommended for younger audiences. Get your tickets early at the high school office for the Drama Club's production of Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None, presented on February 19, 20, and the 21st, and the following weekend, the 26th and the 27th.
So the Drama Club is doing Agatha Christie drama, so tickets are on sale at the high school office. So head on up there and get your tickets. So we were talking about the complex before we went to our break, and so it's going to be baseball and softball. Anything else we want to cover on the baseball side?
You will have the bullpens down the right field, left field line. We're talking during the break about the fencing. You know, sometimes you walk into the ball field and you don't realize it looks really neat for some reason. You don't know why, but that is, you have a black fencing versus a galvanized look. So ours will be black fencing, and that'll make it look really even more detailed and impressive. We'll have an irrigation system in the fields. We talked about also the seating. So the seating behind home plate will be a stadium seating, and that's one more sponsorship we have also.
Does that mean with the backs on the seats?
Correct. Yep. Backs on the seats and be very comfortable.
Yeah.
And that we do have the seat sponsorship available for $250 for a seat. Some of them rested in that also.
But that doesn't mean they get to sit in that seat all the time. They're just sponsoring a seat, or is that...
That was a big topic of discussion, and we haven't talked about that for a year.
Okay. Specifics haven't really been okay. nail down exactly. It's more yep. of you're going to have a plate and their name, of course.
Because kind of what I was thinking, yeah, a lot of people would want to do that, but there's also people that might want to just donate to that, and they're not going to be really going to the games.
Sure.
Or, you know, if let's say JR sponsors 15 seats, mm-hmm. We don't want 15 yeah. seats empty because they're not whoever they pick that week and aren't going to be there. But it'd be also be nice. There are going to be a lot of people. Let's say, for instance, if Jerry Kalps is still the coach, his wife and family might want to yep. have a specific spot. So, yeah. But they're usually there early enough that they're going to get they're going to get where they want to sit. So that there's advantages to each one of those where, you know, somebody will sponsor a bunch of seats, nobody can sit there but them, but they don't show up.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody might show up now, but in 2 or 3 or 5 years, how many years do they get to keep that seat? Is it forever or for, you know, so that's something I guess you guys would have to figure out somewhere along the line. But so, okay, got the stadium seating. We expounded on that a long time. Yeah. Sorry yeah. about that.
I'm more to think about it. I think the point you made about the seating is, you had a good point. I think you can put your name on a seat, but doesn't really mean it's reserved. But like I said, that's something that'll get nailed down here soon also.
Yep.
Yep. Then we're going to do the same thing for the softball field. I'll let Cole talk about that here in a little bit. As far as the baseball field, we'll have green slatting in the fence like we do at the current baseball field.
Mm-hmm.
And the backstop will be netting. And it'll be very, very high because we want to keep the baseballs from going to the softball field.
Yeah.
You're probably looking at 70 to 100 feet high netting backstop. So
wow.
It'll be out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the softball field, it's going to have a lot of similarities to the baseball field. It's going to be it's going to stay in the same spot it is now. Some much-needed upgrades to it. The fencing is going to be painted to match the black, just like the baseball field, along with green slats all along the outfield fence to match, so they keep consistent theme and everything. They'll also be getting a new backstop that will be higher and nicer for same purpose, keep balls off the baseball field during games, and just gives a more professional look to it as well. They'll be getting some bullpens added as well, down the right and left field lines, right outside the fence.
Mm-hmm.
Along with that, they're getting new sod in the outfield. The infield dirt will be graded and lasered, just so it's got its proper rain runoff and safe for all playing. And then, I know Jeff mentioned earlier, purple turf down the baselines and behind home plate with Lady Indians and white lettering to kind of make it pop.
Yep, so. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I like that a lot. I've seen it a couple of places, and when, you know, I'm not sure it would be a great thing to do on what we have existing, but if we're doing new, might as well do it right the first time and not make it a 10-year project to keep adding a little bit here, a little bit there.
Yep.
Because that'll only cost us more money as it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like we touched on earlier about scoreboards, the scoreboard is going to be a matching scoreboard to the boys' baseball field, so it will really stand out and look good up there.
And again, there's two spots left on that. Correct. For sponsorships on the girls' scoreboard.
Yep. So, and then, of course, they're getting the press box, concession stand, and restrooms that they don't have in that multi-purpose building.
Mm-hmm.
That will be functioning for both sides, and the press box will be overlooking both fields, and it'll really all come together well.
Yeah. So is it going to be full two stories, or is the top part going to be a little smaller? I've seen it both ways where they do big storage at the bottom, concession stand, and then up top is kind of a little I'd call it a tower, although they're usually 20 by 20 or something. But
I think the upstairs, the press box, there's some laws in Ohio where if it gets so big, you have to add an elevator to it. So we have to keep it a certain size. So it will not be a full upstairs. It'll be as big as we can make it without adding an elevator to it.
But the ones I've seen, and in fact, I don't remember where one was here the last few years, but I've seen one where there was a big meeting room and a storage room that wouldn't be able to be used for a press box because it didn't have windows. or didn't overlook or something, and they were able to make it a full two stories, but they had to reduce the area that could be used for a press box. So the upstairs, you know, generally people think press box, but there's a lot of things you can do without, but I don't know how much storage we need and how that's going to go, so right. I'll let the people, the architect people figure that out and deal with the laws, but yeah, so going to be a, and the press box will overlook both the softball and the baseball.
Yeah, I believe I have a dividing wall in the middle, and mm-hmm. one for baseball, one for softball.
Yep, that's pretty good, so going to keep that small enough that we don't have to deal with elevators, because that's, you know,
that's another ball game right there.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money for something that probably would be used. Well, I'd be lazy and use it going up probably, but for the most part, people that actually needed it, maybe once every 2 or 3 years, might be somebody that actually needed it. So,
sure.
You don't. It's nice to take care of the people with disabilities, but. If they're not going to be in the press box, we don't need to run them up and down. But
sure.
But, so, anything else unique on the softball? Are the dugouts going to stay basically how they are?
Yeah, as far as dugouts, for the most part, they're going to remain the same. I mean, other than the fencing in front of the dugouts, going to be black.
Seemed to me that they're perfectly fine.
Yeah. Yep. They're nice and large for the players and everything. So. Yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, make sure to follow us on Fort Recovery Athletic Boosters on Facebook. We just posted a couple days ago our Game On Logistics link, or you can go to gameonlogistics.com, and you can subscribe for updates for our baseball field, softball field complex. So, yeah, they've been great to work with and putting it all together for us.
So, who is that that's doing, that's kind of in charge of this?
They're called Game On Logistics.
Where are they from?
I'll let Jeff kind of give you more background on them here.
I believe they're out of the Troy area.
Okay, so somewhere kind of local so you can go talk to them if you need to, instead of being in Chicago or California or something where you have to just do everything by. So,
yeah. As a matter of fact, Bryce Adams is the president of the company, and he has 10 years experience of working with the Dayton Dragons. He was a field crew manager, so he
knows a little bit about it.
Yeah, he's really good. Mark Armstrong, the former major league player, is his partner, and he's really knowledgeable also. And together, they make a great team, and they have a lot of great ideas for us. And so, it's really a great combination.
Yeah, that's awesome. So. We've pretty much covered the complex, I guess. When are they figuring starting and or finishing?
So the first work will be done by Don Collick and his sons on the field, and they're probably looking at around April
of this year.
Yes. Yep. So, and our goal is to they'd like to have the grass in by Labor Day, which should be no problem. You know, with the goal is to be playing baseball and softball on it next spring. So, cross your fingers.
With grass that has weathered through the winter.
Yes.
Instead of putting down fresh in the spring, and every time you move, you're tearing it up.
Exactly.
So that's really good. So, let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll figure out how we're funding this whole million-dollar project. Be back in just a minute.
Hi, my name is Connor Rammel at Fort Recovery Insurance. Every year, you should review your insurance plans to make sure you have the right protection for your needs. At Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, we'll take you inside our fort to make sure you're paying the right price for the right insurance to protect you. For years, we've been doing just that, and it's time for us to help you too. At Ohio Mutual and Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, we've got something for everyone, and we've got something for you too. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, call us today at 1-888-375-4181.
This is the first thing you hear after the power goes out. Silence. But that doesn't last very long. The next thing you hear is complaining. Then the inevitable whining. No TV, no power for laptops and tablets. How long do you think their cell phone will last without a recharge? How about your cell phone? Now's the time to call Reasoner Energy and talk about Generac generators. Not only do they operate quietly, a Generac generator from Reasoner will silence complaining and whining. Call 419-678-4858.
Street Market always has great prices and great selection, and here are some of the specials they have for you through February 18th. Lent is coming, and Wayne Street Market has you covered. Starting on Ash Wednesday, and then every Friday during Lent, Wayne Street Market has their famous fish dinners hot and ready to go back at their deli. You get the fish and two sides for $7.99. Be sure to call ahead to avoid waiting in line. And you can also buy just the fish for $8.99 a pound. And every day they have their ready-to-go meal specials back at the deli. Meatloaf Monday, Tenderloin Tuesday, Wing Wednesday with dinners with two sides or just wings, ribs on Thursday, and fish dinners on Friday. Wayne Street Market is open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, closed on Sundays during the winter. You don't need to go out of town for great prices and great selection. Just stop by Wayne Street Market, the hometown store that saves you more. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up this weekend on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, the Lady Indians begin their tournament run, hosting the Hardin Northern Polar Bears at Portside Fieldhouse at 7 p.m. WPGW will broadcast the game on 100.9 FM, and Fort Recovery Radio will also broadcast the game with NFHS video. Friday, it'll be the boys' last regular season game as they host New Bremen. We'll simulcast WPGW's broadcast of that game. If the girls win on Thursday, they'll play again on Saturday night, hosting the winner of New Bremen and Waynesfield Goshen at 7 p.m. WPGW will broadcast the game at 100.9, and Fort Recovery Radio will also broadcast the game with the NFHS video. Be sure to tune in to catch all the action live this weekend, right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians. Tickets for the girls and boys basketball tournaments this year are only available through the OHSAA website and will require the code given to you by our players and coaches. There will be no tickets available for purchase by the general public without the code provided to our players and coaches. Again, all tickets for our girls and boys tournament games this year must be purchased through the OHSAA website using the code provided to you by the players and coaches.
We're back on Insight talking with the Athletic Boosters, basically the WOW people in the baseball complex that is getting funded all the time by the WOW. We've talked about, I think we've covered pretty much everything on the complex itself, getting started this spring and hoping to play in next spring. And so how is it going to be funded? Is it basically everything funded from the WOW?
So the funding's coming from a couple of different places. Number one, of course, is our sponsors we named before.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about those great people. Those are important, really important.
Great sponsors there. I appreciate their efforts. Then, of course, the WOW is our biggest fundraiser. The WOW Super Raffle, which we started, is our third year. We got a great team of people. Around 15 folks on that WOW committee, and I've never been part of a committee where we probably got a 90% attendance rate, and everybody shows up all the time. They're passionate, they're really excited, and they all get our own subcommittees, and you know, we all take care of that, and just it's just a great team we have, great team. But you know, 3 years ago when we first started, like I said before, Jonas and Jake said we're going to sell 3,000 tickets at $100 each. We couldn't believe it. How are we going to do this? And we got going, got off to a fast start. Then it kind of slowed down in October, November. Then we did some advertising, social media advertising. All of a sudden it picked up again, and it picked up a lot of momentum to where by Christmas time we were selling so many tickets, we had to call a timeout. We had a meet and say, all right, guys, how many tickets we got left? And before the end of the meeting, we realized we were basically sold out.
Yeah.
And it looks on everybody's faces, it's like, we did it. It was really a fascinating thing. Then we held the event. The event was just spectacular.
Yeah, had perfect weather.
Awesome weather.
And it was, everything was, every possible problem was thought of. I know several different times that first year I'd say something to Jonas or Jake or Jim Toby or somebody and say, have you guys thought about this? Because this can happen. yep, we got this committee. It's already and every single thing that, you know, because I've been involved in some things, not to that degree, but some things that when you get down to it, you go, oh, we forgot about that. And so I was kind of trying to give them a heads up, and everything that I could think of that could be a possible problem was already solved.
Yes.
It wasn't just we're working on it. It was already solved.
Yeah.
And if you were down there, or even if you just heard about it, you know it went off so smoothly. I don't think it could have been done any better. You know, first time around, you usually make some mistakes and learn. It was perfect. It was really, really good.
Yeah, it went really well. And the second year, we sold 4,000 tickets, and those were such a hot item that they sold out in like a week. It was just ridiculous. So we brought on the Blue Jacket Bonanza mm-hmm. to try to keep everybody calm down, because people were yelling at us because they couldn't buy more tickets.
Yeah.
So we did the Blue Jacket Bonanza, which took a little longer than we thought, but we still sold out. And then, unfortunately, we could not hold the event this year, but the virtual events were not really great.
That also was done about as well as it possibly could have been done under the circumstances. It just, you know, you can't have people there, so how are you going to do this? Had it on TV, had it on YouTube, had it on Facebook. You know, it went really well. And the drive-through 50-50, I think you did one on Friday and one on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. and both of those did very well. So
I think it did online 50-50.
Online as well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So this year we decided to come out with 8,000 tickets, and those got sold out right in 3 months' time. So that was very good. And so that's where most of our funds are coming from, that and our sponsors. So we're not quite halfway on the money raised, but we're getting close. And you know, it's a good feeling to know we have all our tickets sold. And whether the event goes on or not, we're optimistic it will, but you know, no guarantees, right? We can't control it.
Yeah, you could end up with a 3-day storm.
You never know.
Don't want that, but that can happen, or the virus thing like last year, some freaky thing can happen. But we already know that it can be done virtually, because there, you know, we got to, and everybody knows that we can do that very well. So. Or you, we meaning Fort Recovery, I guess. But,
sure.
But and then there's a new sort of new thing for a Friday night game show thing.
Yeah, it's called Toe and Go Raffle. We're selling up to 15,000 tickets. So right now we're at 2,300 sold. So how it kind of mm-hmm. works is the more we sell, the more prizes we give away. So since every 1,000 tickets is when we increase the threshold. So once we sold our first 1,000, we were giving away a trailer, and then a trailer, just empty trailer, then also a trailer with $5,000 cash in it. Once we hit that $2,000 threshold, it increased to selling 2 trailers, just plain, and then the third trailer still has a $5,000 cash on it, and then the fourth trailer has an EasyGo golf cart on it. So,
where did we get that from?
That one's coming from Carts and Parts. So,
that's handy.
Yeah, so we're at 2,300 right now, roughly. And if we get to 3,000, then it's going to be a fifth trailer included that will include a jet ski. So like I said, every 1,000 tickets gets in, the prizes increase. And how it will work is it is Friday. Around 6:30 or so, names and winners be drawn. And then, basically, if your ticket gets drawn, you go up front, you pick out a key, and then it's kind of a guessing game where your key goes, and whichever key whatever lock your key gets to is your prize. So,
if, let's say there's, like you were just talking about, 5 trailers, there's going to be 5 names drawn,
mm-hmm.
and whoever's was the first or last or whatever you decide, they get to try their key, and whichever one that, if that opens up the plane trailer, they still get a really nice trailer. If it opens up the one with the jet ski. Now, are these like enclosed trailers, or are they like ones that you'd be open trailers with that you'd put run a golf cart on, or is it going to be a combination of them, or are we still working on that?
So they're going to be open. I mean, Jonas has all the specifics of that as he's getting all the prizes. But I mean, they're going to be nice trailers that you will want to win.
So. Yeah, yeah. If you, you know, unless you need an enclosed trailer, it's going to be exactly what you want. You can put a truck on it. You can put a four wheeler on it. You can put whatever you want to on it.
Sure. Yep.
Or a jet ski because there's somebody's going to have a jet ski.
So. Yeah, those tickets are going for $25 a ticket, or you can purchase five for $100. And tickets are going to be available till May 1st or until we sold out of 15,000. Reason for the May 1st deadline is it just takes that long to order stuff right now.
Yeah. And one of the, if they get them all sold, there's a like a $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, I think it's Z71 Chevy pickup
truck. Is that yeah. So that wouldn't be so bad. Once you get, it's every 1,000 tickets, you increase prizes up until 10, and then there's a gap from 10,000 to 15,000, and once you do hit the 15,000, it's a 2021 Chevy Silverado, so it it's going to be a nice prize there for somebody.
That's going to be pretty good. So those are going pretty well, but they could use a little boost. So hopefully this will get people excited. And you can get those prizes how? By going to the website?
Yeah, go to the website, wowraffle.com, and it's all right there. So
yep. Got mine already.
That's right.
I have no idea where I put them, but
at least you got them.
Yeah. So that's a good thing. But anything else we want to throw in there? Well, what the dates of the party this year?
Yeah. August 27th is the Friday, and the 28th that's Saturday. So
yep.
Make sure everyone has their calendars marked for that weekend.
And entertainment, that's lined up, isn't it? Do we have that list of entertainment?
Yeah. Friday night is going to be live music by Ladder. They're really good. Play a lot of rock, classic rock.
They're a great band. We saw them at Greenville last year, and Quiet Riot and all the hair bands. You're going to love them.
That's good. Party.
Yes.
And then Saturday night, of course, is the main event, Blackjack Billy from Nashville. And
the one that wasn't able to be here last year. That's who we got last year.
So yeah, it'll definitely be a heck of a party.
Yep. It was a good party last year, or yeah, 2 years ago, I should say. Yep. But let's take another quick break, and we'll hear from Mr. Rocker with his top 10, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Are you looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions, as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials for only 5 1/4. Starting at 11 Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Tenderloin Basket on Thursdays, and on Friday you can choose from our Soup and Salad Bar or our famous half-pound hand-patty cheeseburger basket. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evening, including a New York strip steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, both complemented by our large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
Because of the bad weather, the Fort Recovery Opera House meeting scheduled for this week will now be held on Wednesday, February 24th at 6:30 p.m. in the John and Marianne Wendell Community Room at the high school. Everyone is welcome to attend, and they will have information from the architect, fundraising including possible grants, nominating it for the National Register of Historic Places, and lots more. Even if you're not from Fort Recovery, you're welcome to attend. And you can also get information on their Facebook page, Morvilius Opera House. COVID protocol will be in effect with masks and social distancing required. So if you're interested in finding out what the plans are and the progress already made on our Morvilius Opera House, make plans to attend the meeting in the community room at the high school, now rescheduled for Wednesday evening, February 24th at 6:30 p.m.
We're back on Insight, and we have listened to the Wendell Boys talking about the athletic complex that's coming up and how they're funding that with the WOW and all that stuff. It's going to get started in this spring and be ready by next spring. So sounds like a pretty good deal. Now we get to go to Rocker and do the his top 10 and whatever else he has going for him. So what's up there, Mr. Rocker?
Good evening, Neil. I got the boys with me here.
Phone money down.
Tonight's top 10 category.
Are we going to complain about this one?
Probably.
Good.
It's in honor of the late Rush Limbaugh.
Okay.
Top 10 radio voices.
Top 10 radio voices. Is one of them Wolfman Jack?
He didn't.
He's a radio voice. He wasn't a talk show guy, but he was a radio voice. He was the best radio voice ever. You know, your list is wrong.
I haven't started yet.
Well, yeah, you didn't start with the right guy. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You start with number 10.
Yeah.
Number 10, Don Imus.
Yep. I only heard him a couple of times. He was
not good. Not obviously not prevalent for around here, but
no.
Number 9, the crier, Glenn Beck.
Okay, I never really listened to him, so I have nothing to say there.
So far, crickets.
Yeah. Crickets. Yeah, so far.
Number 8.
You need to get something controversial if you want us to chime in.
Number 8, Neil Bortz.
I might know who that is.
Neil Bortz. All Neils are douchebags.
Okay. Let's try.
If I was any smarter, I'd be offended by that.
Let's try something a little closer to home. Bob Seaver.
Love Bob.
Oh, yeah. He Bob Seaver's let us get out of school all the time. Wait, no, that was... Didn't he sing Night Moves?
That's your buddy, Bob Seger. Not...
Oh, wait. Oh,
I
was thinking of the guy that pitched the no-hitter for the Reds.
Wait.
Tom Seaver. Oh,
there we go.
Wasn't Tom Seaver the race car driver?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sneva, I believe.
Oh.
Sneva.
So, why is Tom Sneva on your list?
He's not.
Oh.
Number 6, Ralph Edwards.
Ralph Edwards.
Okay. I have no idea who that is.
Ralph Edwards.
This is your life guy. He's also a country.
I thought he was. I thought you. What's the name of the, what's the title of this list?
Radio voices. Yes.
I only saw him on TV. I didn't know he's ever on the radio.
I'm just going by the Radio Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Inductees. Number 5, Howard Stern.
Yep.
Not very many fans there either. Apparently.
Yeah. Nobody cares.
We like Howard.
Number 4, Bob and Tom.
Love Bob and Tom.
Are you talking about familiar or great voices? They're not great voices.
Oh, yeah, they are. For people like around here, they are.
I don't like their voices. Their voices aren't particularly any good, but that's okay.
Obviously, number 3, Rush Limbaugh.
Rush.
Okay.
Not a fan, apparently.
I'm not, no.
Nothing.
Hey, Rush.
So far, the great list, not so good. Number 2, Larry King.
Yeah, I guess he did start out in radio. I forgot about that, but yeah, because they talked him in to do it on TV. He didn't want to, but it worked out well for him.
I'd say quite well, except for his last wife. She didn't do too well. Apparently, he left off the wheel.
Oh, not happy.
There'll be some court battles there, I'm sure. And number 1, Paul Harvey, of course.
Oh yeah, Paul Harvey had a great voice. I liked Paul Harvey. What about Burbank?
Didn't quite make the cut.
Gary, no Hall of Famer.
Well, okay.
He's a Hall of Famer. I just didn't have him on the list.
Well, that's your mistake.
Can't win
not the only one.
Can't, Can't win them all. Pass the beer nuts.
Hey, Rob Weaver?
Nothing.
You don't like him?
I didn't say I didn't like him.
Rob Weaver.
Yeah.
John Brunswick.
Yeah.
Pudge.
Yep.
WCSM.
WCSM. You got to. That's like, oh, that's classic.
Hobbsy. How about Big Ralph? Big Ralph.
Oh, yeah.
Put him on the bus.
Guerry Nary.
Well, his bus is up in heaven.
So yeah. All the people you said.
Yep, except Burbank, and you didn't put him on the list.
Let's see.
Howard Stern's still alive.
Howard's still alive. Tom's still alive.
Tom who?
Tom. Bob and Tom. Well, so is Bob, man.
I didn't know either one of them died.
Pretty sure.
You killed the rest of them.
Yeah, the rest of them are pretty. Glenn Beck's still alive.
Glenn Beck died today.
That's Rush. His career's dying.
So that was awesome, Rocker.
Yeah, that was. It's a thought that counts.
Then why didn't you think of Rob Weaver?
What's wrong with Rob Weaver?
Nothing.
Except he's not national, I guess. Rocker's only talking
Bob
about...
Bob Severs?
Bob Severs probably isn't national. Mm-mm. What about Earl Finkel? He used to do the weather.
Earl Finkel. Gil Whitney.
Radio?
He wasn't radio.
Mm-hmm. WHO radio.
Yeah, he might have been on... No, I don't know if they crossed back then.
Tom Ryan.
I think there was a Ryan and there was a Tom. Yeah.
Hey.
No, he had a terrible voice and he was ugly.
Big eyebrows.
Yeah.
Huge eyebrows. His eyebrows scary. Are your duster.
Well, on the radio, it don't really make any difference.
Nope.
But he was on TV.
Hey, what is it, that line, a face made for radio?
That's us.
That's pretty much us.
Really? Speak for yourself. I'm
kind of
handsome.
That's why.
I think he has to be right about that, Rocker, because he's the one that has Jody.
Yeah.
You don't.
Mm. Clock's ticking on that one, of course.
Whoa.
Oh, hello.
Wow.
Ashes today?
We'll see after next Sunday.
Ooh.
Today's Ash Wednesday.
Yes.
Did you go to church?
I'm doing this dog and pony show.
Here, put some hat on
you.
Okay.
He even missed the community club Queen of Hearts drawing.
Ooh.
So that's how I'm dedicated I am to this place.
Yep.
I get to see your happy face and.
Well,
what about your list the other day.
Oh yeah, let's talk about that a little.
Dumbest list I ever heard.
I forget which one that was.
The star desk that was overshadowed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Farrah Fawcett dies. She's, you know, ordinarily that'd be big news. About an hour and a half later, Michael Jackson dies the same day.
Farrah Fawcett?
Nobody remembered Farrah Fawcett.
Mm, I love Farrah Fawcett.
Yep, but we didn't remember when she died because...
Of course.
Some creep died. Everybody.
And also that
deal.
Also that around that period was poor Ed McMahon. He got screwed too.
Hey-oh.
And Billy Mays,
Mays. I don't know who Billy Mays is.
The Aussie clean guy.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Willie Mays?
No, not Willie Mays. He's still with us.
Willie Mays is dead.
No, he's still with us. No. Hank Aaron bought the farm. He's groundhogs delivering his mail.
Whoa.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yakko line.
Huh.
So what we got in sports, boys?
A lot. As soon as you shut up and we get on to it.
We ready? You got anything else, Rocker?
I got nothing. I got hosed on that one.
Got no love on that one.
Okay. We'll be back with Sports Talk momentarily.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.